And I think every single one of us can relate to that statement, even if it was standing alone. God, there are just times when you don't make sense. I remember last week we started off talking about when God seems inattentive. And I started a sermon off about all the violence and the challenges and the tragedies all around the world. And I kid you not, I had no idea what was happening in Orlando at the time. I was unaware of the tragedy that happened in Orlando this past Sunday when we were preaching that sermon series. We prepared the sermon series over 6 weeks ago and had no idea what was coming. And I got home and I read the news and my heart broke. And my heart's been crying ever since. And my heart cries for the loss of life. My heart cries for the victims and the families and the people that are still wounded and being harmed. But I'm also crying at the greater nature of what it looks like when you see humanity fracturing right before your eyes. And you see the pain and the suffering in this world and the way that we treat each other. And you see, you know, the nature of terrorism. You see the fear and the worries and the concerns. And you hear the political bantering back and forth and the harsh conversations around the water cooler. And it just oftentimes doesn't bring the best out in us. You know, the answer to making everything whole, the answer to bringing everything back together again around the world and in our life is in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. So we're here today to talk about how God can help us sort out those moments when in life it just doesn't seem like he's making all that much sense. And so I'm going to dive into the sermon right now, and we are going to talk about this idea when God seems late, because we just hate waiting. We hate waiting for the light to turn green. We hate waiting for the line in the grocery store to get shorter. We hate waiting for the 30 seconds that it takes for a bag of popcorn to pop. Did you know that it used to take 20 minutes to make popcorn? You remember those days? When you got the old-fashioned thing out onto the stove and you worked it back and forth and you put the oil in and you got the stirrer going, and we can't even wait 30 seconds for popcorn anymore. When we were in Lakeside, Ohio at annual conference doing the work of the church, Pastor Nancy was there, our lay delegate Van Slack and his family were there a couple of weeks ago. It ended a little bit early, so I was able to steal away for a day and take Elizabeth to one of my favorite places on earth, and that's Cedar Point. And you see, I love roller coasters and I love thrill rides, but what I discover as I get older, I'm 43, soon to be 44, is they don't like me anymore. They bite back. They don't like me anymore. I mean, my head gets all discombobulated, and the older I get, the less I can take. And here's how sad and sick my addiction to roller coasters is. I'll take Dramamine just so I can go ride thrill rides. I mean, what is wrong with the person? At some point in time, your body tells you you're too old, you can't do that anymore. And I say, heck no, I'm going to the RX and I'm getting some Dramamine. So I wander around the park sleepy half the time. I don't even know what's going on, but I'm on a thrill ride, baby. I'm on a thrill ride, baby. But you know what you do when you go to ride roller coasters? What do? Before you ride roller coasters? You stand in line and you do what? And you wait. And you wait. And you wait some more. And you hope in that time that the thrill ride doesn't break down. Now, I took Elizabeth with me because she's my thrill seeker. And Austin and Tana weren't with us. They had other things going on in their life. And Isabel's not the thrill seeker. So I took Elizabeth with me because she was finally tall enough to ride any ride in the park. And I knew that I could start her on any ride that I wanted her to start on. And it happened to be that her first roller coaster ever was the Millennium Force. One of the tallest, fastest, and steepest coasters in the world. And she conquered that thing. And after that, she wanted to ride the Iron Dragon, the Gemini, and Cedar Creek Mine Rides, and the old-fashioned cars. That was it for the rest of the day. But she enjoyed that time together with her. But we waited and waited and waited, and it got to the end of the day, and I hadn't ridden the new ride yet, Valraven. And everybody wants to ride the new coaster, and Valraven is this dive coaster. It's over 200 feet tall. And so we ran into a family that was from annual conference as well, and the guys wanted to ride thrill rides, and the younger kids wanted to ride the younger stuff, and so she just went to hang out with them, and I got a chance to ride some of the bigger rides that she didn't want to ride anymore that day because she had enough with Millennium Force, because I was riding, I just got to confess this to you, Millennium Force, I hadn't ridden that thing in 7 years, and when I was sitting next to her in the front seat, we waited for the front seat, we were going up the hill, and I was thinking to myself, I've ridden this thing 20 times, and 7 years later, 43 years old, I thought, I don't remember it being this steep. She was sitting next to me, and I thought, I'm going to be in trouble. We were going down the first drop, and I thought I could remember seeing the bottom of this hill sooner than this. I remember going around the first curve, and I said, I don't remember it being as intense as this. And she screamed her head off the whole time, and I thought, I'm going to be in trouble with the wife when I get home after that one. So end of the day, standing in line for Valraven, and you know what happens with the new roller coaster? You're standing in line. They break down from time to time. Sure enough, I've stood in line for half an hour, 45 minutes, and it broke down. The car is just stuck on the top of the track. 15 minutes later, they get it cleared, they run some empty cars, and then the line starts moving again. Only about 20 minutes later, what happens again? It breaks down. It's after 8 o'clock. The park is closing. This other family's waiting on me to grab Elizabeth so I can, they can leave and take off, and I'm stuck in a quandary. Do I wait for Valraven? Do I wait for them to get unstuck? Do I ride it? Do I not ride it? I've waited in line. I've invested an hour and 15 minutes of my time waiting with no result at the end, only to decide, do I step out of line? Do I stay in line? What do I do? And I finally had to leave the line and leave Valraven behind. And you think, I just dropped $50 and I didn't even ride the brand new roller coaster. I think there's times in our life where we wait and we wait and we wait and we don't get the results that we want to get in the end. And it leads us to ask questions. God, what is going on? It just doesn't make sense. And when we're praying for things in our life and we see God answer prayers in other people's lives and we're like, God, how about throwing me a bone? Hey, I've been faithful. Hey, we start comparing notes. I've been to church more than they have. I've been reading my Bible more than they have. I bet I give more than they give. And we start playing these games with God like, God, what about me? Answer my prayer. Why aren't things going well in my life? It seems like everything's going well in everybody else's life. And Lord, I've got financial challenges that aren't being answered. I've been waiting for you to answer this job and career need, this medical issue, these relational issues. I just don't understand. And we're in this season of waiting. You know, you look at couples who are trying to conceive, and Aaron and I've been there before in our life, and they can't. And then you see other people, you know, complaining about unwanted pregnancies. God, that doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. And by the way, I want you to understand there is no such thing as an unwanted pregnancy. There's no such thing. Because whether it's a painful situation for that biological mom or not, whether it's going to work out for that biological mom or not, I know families in this world that cannot conceive children, and they are desperate to love on a child. Amen? And there is no such thing. No such thing as an unwanted child. But you want to talk about people that have to wait the most. It's people who want to have a child but can't. Maybe you're in a different spot. You're in different places, wherever you might be. We're waiting on the house to sell. We're waiting for our child to come back to the faith in Jesus Christ. And we're waiting for the marriage to get better. Why is God not doing this thing? Because here's the problem. We know God's capable. We know God's able, but he's not happening. It's not showing up in our life right now. We need to hear something right off the gate right now. With God, a waiting season is never a wasted season if you're taking notes. Now, you can take notes by hand, or you can get on the YouVersion Bible app. If you've got that download on your smartphone, go to events, and all of the notes and scriptures will be right there. But with God, a waiting season is never a wasted season, and we're going to look at the story of Lazarus. Lazarus and Martha and Mary are all siblings, and they know Jesus really well. As a matter of fact, they're good, close friends with Jesus. How do we know this? Because Jesus came over for a dinner party one day. You know the story where Mary and Martha were in the house, and Martha's scurrying around to get everything ready, and she goes to Jesus and hollers at Jesus to holler at Mary because Mary's sitting at her feet not helping her get things ready for Jesus, and Jesus says, oh, calm down. You've got your mind on so many different things. What matters the most is what Mary's doing, and she's focusing on the one that matters the most. Don't get yourself so caught up in these things. But you look at that and you think, but it looks like my household. You got your young people, your kids, your teenagers, you know, bickering back and forth. Mom, she's not helping clean up. Mom, can you get over here and get this done? Can you tell her to not go down and watch TV because we have still have to do the dishes? You ever have those kind of conversations in your household? So Mary and Martha and Lazarus have entertained Jesus in their own home, which tells you what kind of close personal relationship they have. And so let that set up this conversation starting in John chapter 11, verse 1 in the Bible. And it's amazing how applicable the Bible is to us over 2,000 years later. It's an awesome book. You ought to read what's in there sometime. It's just awesome. And in verse 1, it says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. Verse 3, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Now, notice the intimacy and the relationships that they have there with one another. You know, this is the kind of relationship they had with Jesus. They didn't even have to tell them that it was Lazarus. All they had to say is the one that you love is sick. And Jesus got it. They knew that Jesus would get that. That's because of the kind of relationship that they have, the intimacy that they had. And so when they're saying that, they're thinking, this is in the bag. I mean, healing is just moments away because, you know, Jesus, we're good with Jesus. You know, Jesus, we're tight with Jesus. He came over to our house. He's in our life group together. And he's healing all these people. We know that he's able and he's going to come and he's going to heal Lazarus. And he's going to come and he's going to do this thing. And they wait on Jesus and they wait on Jesus and he doesn't show. You remember that moment where you had all that faith in the world that God was going to do a thing for you, and you've been praying, and you know the timing in your mind, but Jesus isn't following through with the kind of timing that you had in your mind? You've been in those places. Some of you are there right now. I know I'm talking to some of the right people here today. And oftentimes what we do is we start to remind God of who we are and why we deserve to have that response and that answer. Kind of like when I called up we got a fourth used vehicle, and as the number of drivers grow, the number of vehicles in the house grow, and we got four used vehicles, and we're still waiting on the title to come through because you get like that temporary tag, that 45-day tag. And so I was calling the dealer, and I said, hey, just checking, you know, it's like day 30, haven't seen the tag, we got some things coming up, we may not be around, and hey, thoughts on when that might come in? He said, well, who are you? Well, I was like, I'm John, you know, I brought my son Austin in, we were looking at the car and the Pontiac, and so which one was that? And I said, I'm John Alice, I'm the pastor down at Rolling Plains Church. He got a moment. And so don't you remember those conversations we had around faith and around you telling your story and you sharing your testimony? He says, oh yeah, I know who you are. Yeah, let me get, all of a sudden it's like kind of motivated him to kind of get going. And I think sometimes we need to remind God of who we are, right? Like somehow we have some kind of authority with God to say, hey, God, you know, aren't you listening? I'm the one that was a good person last week. I'm the one that tipped the waitress really well. You know, God, come on, where are you at? Listen, I listen to Christian radio every single day at work and I make sure other people are hearing it. I post scripture verses on Facebook. Certainly you can do this for me. And we kind of have this moment where we want to raise our authority in front of God and say, God, why won't you do this for me? You know, we're close. We're tight, aren't you? And Mary and Martha are in that place. Hey, listen, you're in our home. You ate our food. We have an intimate relationship. The one that you love is dying. Certainly you can show up and care for that moment. But you need to understand that a waiting season is never a wasted season. And my prayer for you today is that this sermon builds your faith in amazing ways while you're waiting, while you're waiting. So while we're waiting, we need to remember a couple of things. Number one, God's delays are not necessarily God's denials, if you're taking notes. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials, because God hasn't done it yet doesn't mean that he's not going to do it ever. And prayers that aren't answered right now are not necessarily a means to understanding that he's never going to answer them. They may just simply be a delay. And oftentimes we get denials and delays confused with delays and denials. When God is oftentimes giving us a delay because he wants to do a new thing in our life later that we don't have any idea of right now. And so in verse 4 of chapter 11, the story goes on. When he heard this, Jesus said, when he heard this news about Lazarus, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And so he hears that his buddy is sick. And what he wants to reassure the family and friends and the disciples of is this: I know what I am doing. I know what's going on. I am aware. I've got this. And I think those are the three words that we need to be reassured of every single day in God, in our relationship, is to hear God telling us, I've got this. And so I want you to look at your neighbor right now, and I want you to remind him of something. I want you to look at him and say, whatever it is, just say to them, God's got this right now. Look to your left. God's got this. And look to the person on your right and say, God's got this. And look and say, of what? I don't have any idea, but God's got whatever in your life. God's got this. And at the end of the story, Jesus is telling them, you are going to see my purposes in this. At the end of the story, you're going to see me glorified in this. And you just need to trust me that I'm going to be glorified, that you're going to see my purposes in this thing you never wanted in your life. Now, you may experience a divine delay. And oftentimes when you pray, God may answer it in amazingly fast fashion, or maybe in the exact way that you pray. But there may be times when you pray and it's not happening in the way. It's not happening just right now because he has a different purpose in mind. But what we need to understand is whether it happens in our timing or his timing is that our timing isn't perfect. God's is. God's timing is perfect and he's always on time. And God often wants to do something in you before he does something for you. And that's why that for you thing that you're praying for isn't happening right now, because he's still waiting to do something in you while you're waiting. And we do this with our children, dads on Father's Day, moms too at the same time. But there's often things that our children want, or our young people want in our life. And we say in our minds, we say, listen, I can't give this to you now, but I'm going to be able to give it to you at some point in time. But you need to learn a few things in between those periods and those kinds of conversations. And so maybe an example is driving. You know, you kind of come to the point where you come of age. And I remember when I was coming of age of being able to drive when I was a young person. And whether you're ready for it or you're old enough or whatever it might be, I remember as a young person, my parents saying to me, listen, we'll get you your temporary license, but we're not going for the driver's license right away. And here's what you need to do. We're going to have a log. And we're going to have a log, and we're going to log your miles and the number of miles you have to drive. And I think it was something like 150,000 miles I had to drive or something like that before I got my license. But my dad had this log, and no, it wasn't like a log like Stardate 2026 or something like that, because that felt like when I was going to be able to drive in that moment. But it was a log, and he would just keep track of my miles. He said, you have to drive a certain amount of miles with your mom or with me, and then we'll get your license. See, he wanted me to have that good thing, but he knew that I needed to wait for that good thing because there was some work that needed to happen in the meantime. I needed to become more mature. I needed to grow in that moment. I needed to get more comfortable behind the wheel. And so in that moment, we do this for our children all the time. There are things that we know that they want or that they might need, but we can't give it to them right now because there's some growth that needs to happen in those moments. And so God has done a lot in me personally while waiting. I don't know if he's done it for you, but he's given me a lot more patience. He's taught me to pray more. He's taught me to trust more while I'm waiting. He's taught me to walk by faith and not by sight while I'm waiting. He's taught me that when I'm weak, he is strong while I'm waiting, and that he's always on time while I'm waiting, that his purposes always prevail. These are the things that he teaches me while I'm waiting. And so maybe you can confess in your own life that God has done a lot in your life while you're waiting, because God has done a lot for me in my life, I know, on this day, while I've been waiting. So maybe you're living in a season of divine delay that isn't necessarily his denial. And so Mary and Martha are waiting. They're in a waiting season. And so while they're waiting for this close personal friend, who happens to be God at the same time, to come to their brother Lazarus's rescue, they realize that he is out healing people. And not only is he out healing people, any old people, he's healing Roman soldiers. He's working with Roman soldiers. He's praying with Roman soldiers. He's helping them find a relationship with him and Christ with Roman soldiers. And these are the enemies of Jews and Christians. The Roman soldiers tortured, brutalized, and lorded over their power over Christians and Jews. And so while their friend Lazarus, his friend Lazarus, their brother, is lying dead in his deathbed, Jesus is out working with the enemy. And they're like, where's God in this? This just doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense when you look at it from the way that we're looking at it in this moment. But Jesus does finally get there. He does finally show up on the scene. And it's actually kind of rude. You know, it kind of feels like Jesus is being kind of rude in that moment when he shows up. Can we say that Jesus was rude in church? Can we say that? There's no lightning bolts coming down through the ceiling, but that's just an authentic way to approach Jesus, that it feels like, holy cow, this is kind of a rude moment. You know, God shows up in Jesus Christ. The body's been wrapped and in the tomb for 4 days. The meals have already been brought for the family. The potlucks have happened. The funeral has happened. He's dead, and it's all over. And not only did Jesus not come and heal him, but he wasn't even there to bring them any kind of comfort. Who does that? Certainly not the God of the universe, right? It doesn't makes sense. It doesn't make sense. So on verse 17 of John 11, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. How many days? 4 days. And so what do you think happens to a body in that kind of time period? It decomposes. And the Bible even tells us that his body was starting to smell after those 4 days. And if it was the King James Version, it would say, he stinketh. He stinketh in the King James Version. And so 4 days is significant, not just because of the length of time, because it addresses an urban legend or an urban myth at that time. Because they believed that for 3 days, the spirit would hover over the dead body 3 days after someone died and could, by some miracle, raise that person back into life. You know, again, maybe it was kind of like a Princess Bride, you know, only mostly dead, not all the way dead kind of conversation. But Jesus wanted to make sure that people knew that they were past the urban legend time, so he added a date to it. This is strategic. 4 days is significant because he's been 4 days dead, and it's a day beyond when people thought maybe somebody could do a conjuring kind of moment, waking him, conjuring him up, or raising him up from the dead in some kind of mystical way. But Jesus left no doubt when he waited till the fourth day, when he was completely dead. And oh, by the way, not only was Lazarus completely dead, but hope was completely dead. And there was nothing but darkness that settled over people's hearts. And maybe you've been there when you knew God could have done a thing, but he didn't. And you felt like you were failed upon by God. You felt like you're betrayed, and you said, it makes no sense. Why would God be 4 days late? And you're thinking, I got a situation right now, and it feels like God's 21 days late or God's 10 days late. Well, you're not in bad company. You're in good company, because that's what they're experiencing here. Going into verse 20 of John 11. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. I love this moment that Martha and Mary are in. They're in between confusion and belief. They're in between doubt and trust. And she starts off by just laying into Jesus and giving Jesus a piece of her mind. Hey, listen, I know you. I know what you could have done. I know who you are. I know you're the God of the universe. And so she unloads all of her hurt and her confusion on him. I know about our relationship. I know that you love him very much. Where have you been all of this time? Why didn't you return any of my text messages? Why didn't you do what you were capable of doing? And so she's honest with her struggle with Jesus that this just doesn't make sense. But in the midst of that, she says, but I still trust in you. I still trust in you. We've all been there. Why, God? Where, God? God, I don't understand what's going on, but God, I still trust in you. You know, I've been praying for stuff in my own life. I've been praying that things get resolved in my own life. It happens on a regular basis, and I'm believing, but oftentimes I'm getting with God and saying, God, why haven't you shown up? I want to believe, but I have so many doubts, and then you start playing the card again, right? Well, I happen to be the pastor of a church. Lord God, if you're going to do anything for anybody, it should be the pastor of the church because I'm closer to God than anybody else, right? I mean, that's what we look at our pastors like we have a halo over our head. We levitate from the platform. Did you not know this? And so I kind of play that card with God. Come on, God. You know, I mean, if you're going to care for somebody, if you're going to answer somebody's prayers, it should be me and all the things I do for you. And I just don't understand, but I still trust in you, God. I still trust in you. And that's kind of where Martha and Mary are. You know, listen, you had dinner in our household. What is going on here? You could have been here. You could have sent us a text. You could have shown up. So they're between confusion and trust. And I just love how practically applicable Scripture is to us years and years and years later in this reality, because this is the way we are when we raise our families. This is the way we are, dads and moms, when we raise our kids, grandpas and grandmas, when we raise our kids. And so there are these moments where, as a dad, you know, my children don't always like the decision that I make. Or as a mom, your children don't always like the decision that you make. But we pray in a household that there will always be an understanding that they can trust in the love that we have for them. That even though right now I'm not getting the answer that I want, and I got a lot of those situations when I was a kid, I wasn't getting exactly what I wanted when I wanted it, but I never doubted my love, the love that my parents had for me. And so out of that love, I was able to have a trust and to believe that they were going to come through in what was best for me, even though I wasn't getting exactly what I wanted. And God understands this about us as well. He says, I understand that you don't understand, but keep your trust in me. Keep trusting. And so right now you're praying, you're trusting for a miracle, you're struggling, and you're waiting for that miracle to come through. And even though it's not, you're going to trust because God is always on time. God is always right on time. And so you need to just believe that a delay is not always a denial. And secondly, just remember while you're waiting, if God always met expectations, he'd never have the opportunity to exceed those expectations. What I love about this is up to verse 42, all hope is lost. Up to verse 42, he's dead in the tomb and hope is dead and Jesus has betrayed them and he didn't show up and he let us down. And up to verse 22, it's just like the most horrible experience you could possibly imagine. And here's the good news. Verse 23 happens. From one page to the next, one verse to the next, God flips a page in their life, literally in a nanosecond, everything turns around. Because in verse 22, it's darkness and desolation, all hope is gone. And in verse 23, Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. And some of us are stuck in verse 23, and we just need to wait for God to turn the page in 23. We're stuck in 22, and we need to wait for God and Jesus Christ to turn the page to 23, and we need to wait for his timing. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives in believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? So she's confused here. She's confused. Yes, I know about the second coming. I know someday that you're going to come back once you die on the cross. You're raised from the dead. You're going to go and be in heaven with the Father someday. I know about the prophecies that you're going to come back and the dead will be raised in Christ at the end times. I know that. But Jesus is saying, no, I have something different for you. I have a different deal. You thought what you wanted. You thought your timing was best. But what I have in my timing is going to be even better than that. I'm going to raise Lazarus from the dead. See, I'm not just about healings. I'm also about resurrection. And I'm going to show the world that I am the resurrection and I am the life. That in me, death no longer has a final say. That in me, death is not the end. But when I die for you on that cross and I'm raised from the dead, you put your faith in me. Though your bodies may die, you will live with me in all of eternity in heaven someday. Because I am the resurrection and I'm the life. And I'm going to use Lazarus to prove that to everyone. I'm going to glorify myself through this. And Mary and Martha, you see, they're expecting a healing. And that's a good thing. But Jesus is planning a resurrection, and that's even a better thing. You see, oftentimes we discount miracles because we aren't ready to accept the challenges and the difficulties. You see, miracles necessitate a problem. And the bigger the problems, and oftentimes the longer the problem goes on and is sustained, the bigger the miracle is when God turns the page from verse 22 to verse 23. And this is what God is wanting to do in their life. God is always on time. And so maybe you're here today and you're waiting and you're praying. And if you got this or you got that in your time or in your way, it wouldn't be as good as what God had planned for you, the purpose that he had planned. You're praying for healing, but maybe God is perhaps planning a resurrection. You know, you thought when you were dating as a teenager, you found the right person. You found Mrs. Wright, or you thought that he was going to be Mr. Wright, and it didn't pan out, and you were devastated, and years later, you ended up marrying somebody, and you realized that you married a huge upgrade. Praise be to God that this person was so much better than what you thought you needed as a 16-year-old or 15-year-old or 17-year-old when that person broke your heart. Or maybe you've just been desperate. And you've been wanting this job, and you want this job in your life, and for 9 months you've been praying for a job, and you wanted this job, and all of a sudden this job is given to somebody else, and you're brokenhearted. But 9 months later you get hired in an amazing job, and then you look back on that other job that you wanted to get hired for, and now that company's laying everybody off. I mean, these things happen in our life. Take, for instance, back in February when our microwave went on the fritz and it blew up on us and we had to replace our microwave, only it was an over-the-oven kind of microwave and it had a black facade on it, so we needed to replace it with a black microwave to match the rest of the appliances. The only problem is when you go to Lowe's, Home Depot, and H.H. Gregg and all those other places, guess what? They don't sell black appliances anymore. I mean, they just sell stainless steel. It's all stainless steel. As a matter of fact, now they're onto this black stainless steel now, like this stain-free or fingerprint-free black stainless steel appliance. I sound like a commercial, don't I? Now, don't all run out there and change out your kitchen because they got the latest and greatest. But we showed up and we said, we need a new microwave. We need a black. I said, we don't have any in stock, but we can get one for you in 2 weeks. And I looked and I had my four kids with me and I was like, what do I do with them? What do I do with us for 2 weeks? How are we going to cook? How are we going to do our meals? They said, that's all I've got. I said, it'll be about $280, $300 after tax. I said, okay, I guess we got to order it. Well, 2 weeks turned into 3 weeks. And we finally showed up there, and after 3 weeks, they brought the box out, and there was like someone had kicked a hole in it, and the box was dented, and somehow I was the only one up until this point that noticed it. I was thinking, there's a hole in this box. I was getting frustrated and a little bit angry, and I was glad I didn't wear my Come As You Are t-shirt to Rolling Plains Church that day. I wasn't getting out my business card and saying, I'm the pastor there at the church. I mean, I kept my cool for the most part, but I was getting frustrated. They said, well, we'll just have to order you another one. And so 3 weeks turned into 5 weeks, and 5 weeks turned into 6 weeks, and we finally got on the sixth week. We plugged it in, and it went great. And what we discovered in the process was because of the hassle of time, they cut it from $300 to $150. Now, sisters and brothers, sitting here today, and I look back on those 6 weeks, we survived. I mean, we used the toaster oven more than we ever used in our whole life. I mean, you can make an amazing French cuisine meal in a toaster oven. It's crazy. We used our stovetop more than we've ever had before. We used our ovens more than we ever had before, but we made it. It's no big deal, right? You know, weeks later, but we're $150 more in the pocket as a result of it. And so when we look back on it, we say, listen, my timing and God's plan wasn't exactly what we're aligning, but in the end, God had a plan and he saved us $150 even though we were inconvenienced for a few weeks. And I just think that that's a small illustration of sometimes the big things that God wants to do in our life, that God's plan and his timing, it's always better than our plan and our timing. He can do far better than we can possibly think or imagine in our life. John 11, 43 to 44 at the end of the story. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. I love it where it says that he shouted for Lazarus to come out. Why in the world would God, why in the world would Jesus Christ, God, be shouting at Lazarus to come out? Well, because dead people have a hard time hearing. I mean, come on. Come on. And so he shouted to him, Lazarus, come out. And in this loud voice, this dead person is raised to new life. And so don't miss the power. Don't miss the power in this and what God did. And he didn't give them exactly what they expected. What he does is he exceeds their expectations. And God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. A waiting season is not a wasted season. He's going to do a thing in you sometimes before he wants to do for you. And so maybe you want to be married right now and you're not getting married in this moment, but God is prepping an amazing person behind the scenes you've never met yet. Maybe you're desperate to have a child, but you can't. But God, through a painful circumstance somewhere else, is going to redeem that painful moment and deliver a child into your household. You have no idea. You know, maybe your child is not following Jesus in the way that you want him to follow. And someday they're still going to be able to grow up and become a passionate missionary in their workplace, wherever they are, in the name of God. Though you might not be able to see it right now, doesn't mean that God isn't about to bring it about in your life. And one day you may wake up and realize this truth if you're taking notes. The scene of your greatest disappointment may become the setting for God's greatest miracle. The scene of your greatest disappointment may become the setting for God's greatest miracle. This thing you never wanted becomes the thing that God uses to reveal his good plan and his good work for you beyond your greatest expectations. And now you're on verse 22 and things feel dark and it feels like hope is lost. And all you're doing is you're waiting and you're praying and you feel like you're struggling and you feel like it may not come through and it may not ever happen. But know on God's time and in his plan that verse 23 is just around the corner. And that in Jesus Christ, he can flip the page anytime he wants. He is able. He can come right now in the name of Christ and glorify himself through doing this amazing miracle in your life. And so while you wait, let him know you're struggling. While you wait, let him know that you're confused and you're hurt. But you lean in on his word and you trust him in what he's going to do. And you pray. When you're praying, you might feel the presence and the love of God. And let him know how frustrated you are. Let him know what's going on. But in that moment, maybe you'll feel the presence of God. And you'll realize that a waiting season is not a wasted season. You realize in that moment that he may want to do something in you before he does something for you. Or he may want to exceed your expectations. And rather than give you a healing, he wants to bring a resurrection. Whatever is dying in your life, whatever feels like it's hopeless, whatever feels like it's gone, it's too late. In Jesus Christ, it's never too late. It's never too late. God can resurrect anything in your life, a relationship, a job, finances, struggles, challenges, addictions, whatever it might be. He can resurrect anything. And so while you're waiting, pray hard. That's your first action step. Pray hard and believe big. And secondly, live with a holy expectation of a divine delivery in your delay. God is going to bring you a divine delivery in the midst of your delay. Watch what he does and watch the power that he brings, because God's always on time. God's always on time. Amen.
It's been good to be with you today. We pray as you're praying hard and dreaming big that God is going to open new doors for you, not just in your life, but to be a blessing in the lives of others. As you're completing your connection card, which you'll find in your bulletin, I want to tell you about a few things coming up here in the next couple of weeks at Rolling Plains. John already mentioned VBS, and if you have interest in those things, you can mark that on the back of the card and we'll be in touch with you. Or you can just show up at Bethel tomorrow and we'll get you plugged in. We do want to let you know that next Sunday, right after this service in the Embers Room, we're going to have a Get to Know Rolling Plains lunch. And if you're new to Rolling Plains or you have questions, you'd like to come out and meet our family and meet Pastor Nancy and get to know more about the church, we'd love to have you join us. And you can mark that on the back of the card. We'll take up about an hour of your time and be willing to answer any questions you might have. And we'll enjoy getting to know you a little bit better as well. And in just a couple weeks, July 10th, I can't believe it's that close already, but it is. In just a few weeks, we're going to have another shape class beginning right during this 11 o'clock hour here at the church. This is a really great opportunity for you to come out and realize that all these experiences you've had in your life and that unique personality God has given you, the abilities that you have, the things that you are passionate about seeing done, they're all put there for a reason and they all work together. See, God's formed you in this special shape just for his purposes. And we all want to know that our lives make a difference. And if you're ready to start living that out in your own life, this is your next step in your journey. And we encourage you to come and take that. You can sign up for that. You can find out about those classes and more on our Facebook or our webpage. And also call into the church with any questions you might have. The ushers are going to come forward and collect God's tithes and our offerings. This is our chance to be the hands and feet of Jesus, because we can't all go to Vietnam or Haiti or Spain or even out to Bethel. But we can trust God with one thing that is used everywhere, and that's our money, the money he's already given us. It's a chance for us to go and be parts of those ministries that we can't always get to. Include your card in the basket as it passes you by.
As we're gathering God's tithes and our offerings, this is an opportunity for you to